I'm on, I think. Well, I'm glad he didn't see that picture. Actually, it's worse than it should be. My granddaughter, my youngest granddaughter, she's 4 years old. And she is a masterpiece of human depravity. She likes to have fun, and she said we got to go on these cars. She wanted to ride these cars, and I said, well, I don't know if they're going to let you drive it. She said, when they see me, they're going to let me drive it. And but anyway, she had these sparkly, the ones with sparkles on it. She said, Papaw, why don't you wear this on this ride? And I said, okay. And got a lot of looks, I'll tell you that much. But we did. We had a lot of fun. I've got a wonderful wife that is so good with children, with our children and with our grandchildren. And it's just been a great blessing. Most of our family all lives right in our community, and we see them a lot. They eat a lot. Every Sunday we have a big dinner at our house, and it's just like a herd of locusts coming in. Just they go right down to the nubbins, and then leave, and but I will miss them. I get homesick. I love my family, and I'm so grateful to God that He's blessed me with a good family, and it's really an encouragement to know that people love you and care about you, and so I'm very thankful. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Good to be back here at Lily Valley Baptist Church. And I want to thank the church and the pastor for the invitation to come and preach the Bible. I count it a great honor and privilege to preach God's Word. And I really pray that this week that God will move in our hearts, that He'll move in our midst, that He'll really do a work in us that goes beyond just a five-night meeting to where we're stirred for the glory of God, and that your individual life will impact your home and then your community and your state. And I believe with God, there's nothing that's impossible. And so I sure pray that God will bless this meeting this week. If you would, turn to your Bible to Proverbs chapter 18. I want to read this this verse in the Old Testament and then one in the New Testament. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved here tonight, I can recommend to you the greatest friend that I've ever known and ever will know. There is nothing more wonderful in all the world than knowing Jesus Christ as the one who died in your stead and was buried and rose again, who's always there for you. There's never been and never will be a greater friend. And I'm so thankful tonight that I'm saved by the grace of God, and that Jesus Christ sticks closer to me than anyone in this world. Amen. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. Now, if you would, go over to John chapter 15. And verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. The title of the message tonight is a question that is intended for you to look inward, to examine yourself tonight. I want to ask you, are you a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a true and loyal friend of Jesus? You know, I stated at the outset that Jesus Christ is the greatest friend that you could ever hope to have. And as I thought about that and I began to meditate upon all that He's done for me and all the blessings that I have in Jesus Christ, I know that He's my friend. He saved me by His grace. He loves me with an everlasting love. But I started getting convicted as I thought about this question. Am I a true and faithful friend to Him? And the more I pondered the question, the more convicted I got. And I came to the conclusion that I need to be a better friend to my Lord. Amen. I must show myself friendly to the Lord in the way that I speak, the way I think, the way I act, the way I treat other people. Amen. They ought to know that my very best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I love Him more than anyone or anything. Amen. Now, if you are a friend of Jesus Christ, you are going to recognize and appreciate His worth. If I'm a true friend of Jesus, I will acknowledge who He is and recognize the greatness of His person, of His power, of His love, of His grace. You see, this friend who has engaged to me, who has loved me with an everlasting love, before time and space and matter ever existed, He loved me. He entered into covenant with the Father before the world began and said, I will die in His stead. I will suffer the death on the cross and all of the penalty of the law. I will agree to die in His place and give every drop of my blood to see that Tom Ross is forgiven and saved and justified. You see, the Lord, before time ever existed, He was my friend. He's the eternally begotten Son of God. He is unlike any other person who has ever come into this world. God manifest in the flesh, the impeccable Christ, the incarnate Word, who was willing to become a man. You see, the one that loves me with this everlasting love, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell therein. He owns everything. He is wealthy and rich and all glorious. He enjoyed the fellowship of His Father before the world began. And yet He was willing, due to that covenant arrangement that He made with the Father and the Spirit, He was willing to identify with someone like me. He was willing to become a man. He is the only person in the sacred Trinity who became a man, who was born of a woman and made under the law. The Bible talks about that in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, and how it thrills my soul to think that my Lord was willing to give up all the glories of heaven, the adoration of the heavenly host, being in the bosom of His Father. He was willing to give all that up to come to die for sinners. Here's what it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, or Hebrews 2 verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for it became Him. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people. My friend was willing to become a man and change places with me on the cross. He lived a holy life, unlike any other person who's ever lived. He always did those things which pleased the Father. He never sinned. He was born of a virgin. He never thought of sin, never spoke a word of sin. There was no deceit in His life, in His attitudes. He never tried to trick or coerce anyone. Our Lord was pure and holy and righteous. He was called, as one of His titles, the righteous branch, the Holy One of Israel. And yet, He was willing to take all of His obedience, all of His merits, all of His righteousness, and go to the cross for me and sacrifice Himself. He loved me and gave Himself for me, as He was my friend and He laid down His life for me. My friend was willing to take all of my blasphemies, all of my wretchedness, all of my guilt, all of my wicked thoughts and deeds. They were all laid upon His body, and He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And He suffered the wrath of Almighty God, so that I could go free, so that I could have liberty, so that I could be freed from the guilt and the condemnation of the law. And because of what my friend did, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He died in my place. He rose again from the dead, conquering death and hell and the grave, and He is alive forevermore. And I urge you tonight, if you don't know Him, trust Him right now. Amen. You'll never have a greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich." He died for a poor, wretched beggar. To enrich me with His righteousness that will never be abolished, never taken away. How glorious is it to have a friend like that? If I'm a true friend of Jesus, I will humbly acknowledge not only His person and work, His death and burial and resurrection, His ascension into glory, His acting as my great high priest, but I will also acknowledge all that He's done in my life. And listen, folks, if you've been saved by the grace of God, it ought to affect you, it ought to move you each and every day. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, not just during the meeting, but every day it ought to move us. Amen. That Jesus Christ loved me and gave everything for me. See, my friend, He brought me out of a horrible condition. I've said it many times, if you could have seen my life 39 years ago, you would have said there is no way that somebody like that could ever be saved or forgiven. And I'm here to tell you, with God all things are possible. I was in a miry pit. I was in the stench of my own sins, a rebel against God, a transgressor against His law. And like the psalmist, I can say He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He has put a new song in my mouth. Amen. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. He brought me out. Amen. He changed my life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You ever had a friend that changed your life for the better? That's what Jesus Christ does. My whole life changed. I think about where I was and where I am now. I would have never known the wonders of being forgiven by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus. I would have never known what it was to be accepted in the Beloved and complete in Him and have the privilege of having the Spirit of God dwell in me and enlighten me and teach me the truth of the Word of God. Were it not for my friend Jesus Christ changing my life forever, and He set me in His church, I counted an honor to be saved by the grace of God. And I also think it's a high honor to be a Baptist. Amen. The Lord added me to His kind of church, to serve Him, to live for Him. And He brought my wife from 50 miles away. I remember when I first saw her, She is younger than me. Now, she looks a little older now after she's been married to me. You know that verse in the Bible where it says, if a man finds a virtuous woman, he's found a great thing? I wrote my Bible way back in 1982. I said, I think I found one. I think this is the one. And you know what? God brought me and my wife together. The only time I ever got to see her really was at church. I loved going to church. Now, I know you probably think she loved me because of how good looking I am. That's not it. Yeah. I thought I'd get a little bit bigger laugh out of that, but I think some of them think I was serious. I'm not, believe me. I married way over my head, is what I'm trying to tell you.
That possibility never.
But you know what? You know what she said attracted her to me? She said she'd always ask me questions about the Scriptures. And she said every time you would open up the Bible and say, well, let's see if we can't answer it right here from the Word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll tell you what, that kind of woman who loves God's truth, who loves His Word and loves His people, that's her price is far above rubies.
Amen.
And were it not for my friend, the Lord Jesus, bringing me out of the miry pit that I was in, I would have never, ever met my dear wife. I would have never had the privilege of having the children that I have and raising them and training them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and then see them training their children, my grandchildren, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a joy!
Amen.
And every bit of it's been made possible through the union that I have with Jesus Christ. My friend, He saved my soul. And even times when I am weak and I'm frail and I tend to get backslidden, He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. In fact, He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm in the hand of my friend. He'll never let me go. No matter what I do. Now, I sin more than I want to. I mean, just one sin's more than you ought to. But you know what? Through all my failings, and I've had plenty of them, He's never let loose of me.
Amen.
He guides me. You know, you got a good friend when they lead you in truth. When they care enough about you to show you the way that's right. And our Lord blazed a trail for us. And the Bible says that we are to walk even as He walked. We are to follow in His steps. And I can guarantee you something. If Jesus Christ is your friend, He will never lead you into sin. He'll never lead you into a place of evil and ungodliness or anything that would defile you. Because He's the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And He provides every need. But my God shall supply all your need.
Amen.
According to his riches and glory. By Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is worthy of my most devoted expressions of friendship. He is worthy of love and praise above all others. He is worthy of complete consecration of body, soul, and spirit. If I were to obey and believe and do everything that He's commanded, I would still be an unprofitable servant because I could never pay back the purchase price that cost Him His life so that I would be His friend. You know, when I think about this, I often think about the Shulamite girl in Song of Solomon. And when those daughters of Jerusalem asked her why her beloved was so precious to her and why he was so important to her, her response, and it's like she just overwhelmed with emotion. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. And then she begins to describe, she's got a mental picture of who he is, and she sees his glory and his wonders and his power and his love and his compassion. And at the end, she says this, it's like she just overcome with emotion. And she says, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely.
Amen.
This is my beloved.
Yes, sir.
And this is my friend. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, tonight, I pray that God would fill our hearts with an overwhelming sense of the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we'll be overwhelmed as we meditate and think deeply upon His person, upon His work, upon His love, upon His grace, to the point that it moves us. Sometimes I fear that our Baptist churches are too stale. We get dry. Oh, that God would break our hearts with a greater love for the Lord Jesus. Tonight, do you appreciate His worth? Do you recognize all that He's done for you? All that He's doing for you? And all that He's going to do throughout all eternity?
Amen.
You owe Him every fiber of your being. And He is worthy of that. If you're a friend of Jesus, you'll enjoy His presence and delight in communicating with Him. You know, when you're a true friend to someone, you enjoy being in their company. You look forward to being with them. You value what they have to say. And you look forward to hearing what they have to say and communing with them and fellowshipping with them. Did you fellowship with the Lord today? Did you spend time in the secret place of the Most High? Did you drink in the glory and the power of the risen Christ as you dedicated yourself afresh and anew to His honor? When you poured out your heart to the Lord in prayer and in communion and in meditation upon His Word? If we're a friend of Christ, we will spend time talking with Him in prayer. Asking for guidance and leadership, basking in the light of His glory, His holiness. You see, I want to be more like Mary. She sat at the... Jesus said, Mary hath chosen a better part. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, drinking in His fellowship, hearing His Word, delighting herself in His presence. We get so busy that oftentimes we're like Martha's. Now, I ain't going to rail too much on Martha's. You need good Baptist women that are willing to serve, but you got to take time to spend with the Lord and enjoy His presence. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Are you so close to the Lord? Are you spending time in His presence so much so that it is changing you and you're becoming more like Him? You are in your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds. That's what it means, being changed from image to image, even as by the glory of the Spirit of the Lord. You know, if we're a friend of Jesus, we'll value His Word. We'll listen carefully to what He's revealed. Our text tonight in the New Testament was, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. His commands are found in this book. Amen. Did you crack it open today? Did you read the holy book? I'm going to tell you what, this is a whole lot more important. This is the only thing that you own that's pure. The Bible says every word of God is pure. It's the only thing that you own that has the power through the working of the Spirit to sanctify you, to cleanse you. Jesus prayed, sanctify Him with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. He told His disciples, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. I wonder tonight, do you value the Word of the Savior so much so that you're willing to do what He says? He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. He said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He said, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Oh! You mean I got to love Hillary Clinton? Well, that's a rough one, ain't it? Yeah, I pray for it. Here's where I look at stuff like that. And maybe it's kind of like an imprecatory psalm. You know, where the psalmist in the Old Testament, he would say, Lord, save them, but if you're not going to save them, judge them. Yeah. And we got a lot of enemies in this old world. And we need to pray that God will turn them around. Amen. Change their hearts. Amen. I cannot believe that we live in a country where you have where women actually brag that they've killed children. That troubles me. They need friends like Jesus. They need the Lord to change their hearts. All that we would obey and cherish His words and keep them and heed the truths that He's given us in His Word. How obedient are you tonight? Are you doing what God's Word says? Even when it's hard and difficult. Even when it costs you something. Do you value His Word above the words of the world? above the philosophies of men, above your own opinions. If we're a friend of Christ, we'll delight in meeting with Him in His church. You know, He walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks, the Bible says in Revelation 1. I believe He's here tonight. How we ought to honor Him. And what I hope that every night this week, you'll be able to say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Amen. I pray that coming to church every night this week will not be a burden or a drudgery to you, but it'll, that God will put something in your heart where you want to come. Amen. You'll come expecting a blessing. Expecting to be challenged and convicted and encouraged and empowered. That you'll come with a heart ready to worship, ready to exalt the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ready to sing to His honor and praise His glorious name. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, amen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Amen. You know what? I've been saved for nearly 38 years. Nobody's ever had to beg me to come to church. When God saved me, He changed me. He opened my heart and my mind. He changed my will. I love being with God's people. Amen. Assembled together in His name. Are you a friend that's showing yourself friendly to the Lord by meeting with Him? He's the head of this church. You're His body in Lily Park. Amen. Don't underestimate the importance of that. Amen. You know, if the Lord Jesus is our friend, and if we're a friend to Him, we'll share the same interests. This is why me and Hillary Clinton never get along. We don't have nothing in common. We don't share any of the same interests at all. So how can two walk together except they be agreed? I don't know why I'm getting on her tonight. She's gone now, as far as I know. I don't think she's coming back. Lord help us if she does. But you see, friends enjoy things that make them compatible to one another. And I think of what, if you read Hebrews chapter 10, it's a quote of a messianic psalm, and it's the Lord saying, a body hast thou given me. And He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. That's the Father saying, or the Son saying to the Father, I delight in the mission that You've given me. I delight in doing Your will, doing Your bidding as the second person of the Holy Trinity. I delight in fully fulfilling every single prophecy regarding My work. And that includes sanctifying with His blood all those that the Father had given Him. He said, I delight in doing Your will in this body. I wonder, how is it with us? Do we share that same interest? Do we want to dedicate ourselves like He did Can we say, a body hast thou given me, I delight to do thy will, O God? Lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How is it with you tonight? Do you share that same interest with the Lord Jesus, that you're willing to yield yourself, body, soul, and spirit, and present yourself as a sacrifice, not a dead one, but one that's been brought to life by the power of the Spirit of God? Jesus was devoted to always doing those things which please the Father. He's the only person that could ever say, I always do those things which please Him. John chapter 8 and verse 29. You know what Paul prayed for the Colossian believers? He said that ye, in Colossians 1:9, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Are you devoted to living your life in such a way? Are you cognizant? Do you think, am I pleasing the Lord by what I'm thinking, what I'm watching, what I'm reading, where I'm going, what I'm saying? Jesus went about doing good. He always was looking to show compassion and grace to the broken, the fallen, the diseased. How willing are we to go outside of our comfort zone to be a blessing to somebody, to speak a word in season, and encourage them? See, we ought to love the things that Jesus loves. Our lives ought to be devoted to His interests, and we ought to pursue what pleases Him in every area of our life. And tonight, if this verse is not resonating in your life, you need to pray that God will stir you to obey it wholeheartedly, unreservedly. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
You know, if you're a true friend to the Lord Jesus, we'll walk with Him and we won't walk with His enemies. You think about that. I think this is what's destroying professing Christianity. People who say and do not. Who say that they're saved and yet have no desire to walk with the Lord, no desire for holiness, purity. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 2 says that we are to walk even as He walked, that we are to love His commandments.
Amen. Amen.
Are you walking with Him? Are you in agreement with Him? Are you abiding in Him? Or is your life split off? Oh, you might come to church on Sunday and at least make an appearance that you're walking with Him. But what about Monday and Friday Are you walking with Him or are you walking with His enemies? Are you in agreement with this world that despises His Word? I'm convinced that we are much too friendly with the world. If we were standing like we ought to be, they wouldn't speak well of us. Now, listen, you don't have to do stupid things for the world to hate you. You don't have to be rude or cruel or anything. You just start talking about the Lord Jesus. You talk about the power of His grace. I'll never forget, I was getting on an airport terminal. I had just finished preaching out in Sacramento, California. And this place was loaded, man. There were just people everywhere. I saw a guy wearing a Kentucky hat. I went up to him and I said, "Hey, you from Kentucky?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Are you a Kentucky fan?" He said, "Yeah." And then he started asking, I knew this was going to happen. He said, what do you do? Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Ohio. What do? I'm a gospel preacher. I tell people about the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He came to save sinners." And man, all of a sudden you could see the people in that terminal going, "Did he say Jesus? Did he say that out loud?" You see, the world is not used to somebody actually talking about the Lord. When was the last time somebody witnessed to you? You see, a true friend won't betray him by fraternizing with his enemies. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Who are you walking with tonight? You know, when you love somebody and you're their friend, you won't be ashamed to introduce them to other people. If we truly love and value the friendship of Jesus Christ, we'll not be ashamed of Him. But we'll make it our life's mission to recommend our friend to others. We'll speak of Him often. That's what happened to the demoniac of Gadara. When the Lord changed him and those townspeople came and saw him sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed and in his right mind, he wanted to follow the Lord, and the Lord said, "You just go and tell everybody what great things He's done." He went throughout Decapolis telling of the glories of Christ. The woman at the well, when He saved her, she dropped her bucket and went right to and said, "Come see a man." Are you His friend tonight? And are you showing yourself friendly? You see, I'm looking forward to seeing my friend in all of His glory. I'm looking forward to seeing Him in His majesty and His greatness and His power. And I am assured that that's going to happen because He saved me. And one day I'm going to be with Him throughout all eternity. And I hope He's able to say to me at the judgment seat of Christ, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Are you a true friend of the Lord Jesus Christ? Brother, you come. I guess I ought to give you a little warning since you're on that cane.